We're Stormstress.
And you're listening to 91.5 FM
WMFO Medford.
Tufts Freeform Radio.
Love me, I put my life in your hands. You put another above me.
put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up?
As our first song, and then the little bit of I Put a Spell on You kind of is trying to cue in too. The movie that we watched tonight was Stranger Than Paradise. It's a bit of a, I guess, like independent film cult classic because it, I guess, like was scrappy and, you know,
cold,
was stylistic.
Scrappy and hungry. Am I on? Oh, there we go. I hope. But
sorry. Talk now.
Hello?
Do you hear yourself?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. Sorry.
Sorry.
This is what happens when you have a show early in the morning. I feel like everyone's just so tired. But yes, back to what we were talking about, which is Stranger Than Paradise. And the reason why we were watching this movie is because this is Unboxed, which is which is our show that we watch a movie each week and then sort of like come up with a playlist to describe the movie, unbox what happened, and sort of talk about what the movie made us think about and some songs that aligned with that.
Yeah, so this is Isabel. I was alone last week, but I did it. I switched my time to 9 a.m. because, you know, coming back from Thanksgiving, I was a little tired, so I needed a good night's sleep. But then, yeah, I got to talk about a movie that I saw with my mom over break. Also about traveling, this great country of ours. And then this was the movie. We watched this movie because it was my mom's recommendation. So, shout out mom. She's probably not awake right now. But, yeah, I think my dad's awake, so that's pretty exciting. So, hi, Dad. Nice conversation earlier. Nice long conversation. Okay. Now, Emma can introduce
yourself. I guess I should say my name's Emma.
Yeah.
We also have to say that this is Unboxed, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. But the movie that, just a little bit more information about the movie that we watched tonight. It's called Stranger Than Paradise. It's black and white. It was made in the 80s. I believe it was 1984 that it was released.
Yes.
I don't know when it was shot, but it's also shot on film, and there are these sort of stylistic, like, black screen pauses. And I read up that it's because that's when it's reaching, like, the end of the reel. And, like, the next scene is the next reel. But it does take away from some of the pacing, I feel like. But I guess it was artsy, and, you know, it's also a black and white film. And I don't know, it reminded me a little bit of like a French New Wave, in the sense that it doesn't have as much of like a plot, which sort of like goes along through conversations and scenes of people driving in cars, because I feel like that's what a lot of it was. I don't know, what did you think? Just initial impressions.
I appreciated it as we were walking over. I was talking through it, and I appreciated the kind of dark comedy aspect. There were definitely times where I was laughing. I think the Eastern European, you know, thing that got to me, that spoke to me. So, yeah, but it was very like bleak overall, so it was an interesting like contrast, and also because, well, it was black and white, so there is also your contrast, but now that Emma said that about how they filmed it, like, I didn't know that, and like when I was watching it, I was kind of like annoyed because it was like very like abrupt, and I was like, okay, I guess the scene is over, but then it would just go to like something else, and it was a little like disorienting. But I, now that I know like the background for that, it makes a little more sense. Yeah,
I assume it was probably to save money, like, there's a, like, El Mariachi, which was Robert Rodriguez's first film. He went on to direct Spy Kids and a lot of other things. But El Mariachi was, like, his first film. And he shot it all, like, sequentially. And, like, he would shoot the sound simultaneously. Like, he'd shoot the scene and then he'd get the actors to, like, say the same thing over again. Which is so weird to me. But it, like, works. It's a good film. But, like, film is expensive. It's even more expensive now, I feel like. So if you want to make something cheap, you're just going to be like, okay, that's an artistic decision. But I feel like you end up with like a very meandery kind of plot. They still spent $90,000, but they grossed $2 million. So that's obviously like a good return
on their investment, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it also, I don't know, I was reading that it, like, became, like, an influential, like, independent film. It did win, like, important, like, cinematography awards at festivals. Which, I mean, I understand. I feel like the framing was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I don't know, maybe I'm being too harsh on this movie, because I've, like, watched a lot of, like, long.
But it wasn't even long, though. It was, like, an hour
maybe
and a half.
Maybe it just felt long then, because I just,
yeah.
I got.
yeah, she kept getting
but
up
I'm also
and down. I was like, hello.
But it's, I guess it's just, like, they went to Cleveland. Like, it's not that exciting. Maybe I don't know. I've never really been to Cleveland. But, like, they literally even say it's boring.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Well, they like the snow there.
They like the snow.
They were just looking out into the abyss of, like, a blizzard. Or
well,
Lake
Erie. Lake
Erie. It was Lake
yeah.
Erie. Yeah, but still, but there was so, there was just, it was blanketed with snow. I was just, I mean, I guess that's, like, the metaphor of, like, just, you know, bleakness and, like, I don't know, just this, like, overpowering nothingness that made you feel like the characters were even more alone than they were. Yeah.
Totally. And then it's Florida, which...
That's also, like, I feel like the fake state of the U.S. Like, if there's any, like, just utterly, like, artificial feeling state, it's Florida. And, like, Stranger Than Paradise, I guess. Yeah. I haven't fully unpacked the meaning behind the title. But I don't know if you had any thoughts about that.
I mean, like, I think about the, like, line, like, the truth is stranger than fiction. And then, like, if it's stranger than paradise, like, I guess it's, like, it's mocking, like, the American dream as a truth. Like, it's a, you know.
I guess, yeah.
And you're using dream to sort of, like, connect it back to it. Because it's also, like, three parts, like, where it's, like, what, I can't remember how they separated, but I think it's, like, strange, and then it's, like, in the middle of nowhere, and then it's paradise.
Yeah.
It's, like, three.
Well, things. I didn't even notice the strange in the beginning, and then the paradise, obviously, I did.
Okay, the first section is the new world, the second is 1 year later, and then the last is paradise.
Later. Okay. I didn't get the first one. Yeah, but the 1 year later. I didn't know that was a section. I thought it was just, you know, marking time. But that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I guess
It does both, you know.
It is just marking time, I suppose.
God. That is true. It's marking the movie time, too. But, yeah. So we were playing... Earlier, we played part of the I Put a Spell on You by Jay Hawkins.
Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And that was, like, the song that the main female character, Ava, was, like, obsessed with. That they used probably 5 times in that movie. But I don't know, I feel like I was saying the song feels very overused, like, I don't know, like, maybe other versions, but I always think of, like, Hocus Pocus.
Yeah,
so it was really funny to have it then in this context, which is definitely not Hocus Pocus.
Some, like, artsy indie film.
Yeah, like depressing.
It just felt a little bit, like, overly...
Maybe for me, overly somber, I don't know.
Well, it felt like it was, like, being, like, American New Wave, but, like,
yeah.
Pretentious. I don't know. Maybe I just don't like some of the, like, New York school filming.
Oh.
It's very, like, long and, like,
yeah, well, long and ADHD don't really mix.
Ouch. But yeah.
It's just because you were getting up constantly. Anyway, see, this is what you get on this show.
Well, like, I like some long movies, but it's just, I guess it wasn't catching me with some real action, with some real meat and potatoes and bones. Like, there was a lot of visual niceness.
They had meat and potatoes. Don't you remember the TV dinner?
That's true. But maybe the TV dinner is a good metaphor for what I felt like. That was the meat and potatoes.
Oh my god, it was that bland.
A little.
Oh, no.
I think this is a great time for me to cue out to a song before it gets awkward, and then we can discuss this later. I'm so
I think my
smart.
Mom might be very upset.
Thank you. for a party. I'm looking for a sign. I'm looking for the treason that I knew in 65. Beware the savage show of 1984. Conceit, conceit, remember me.
Maybe I'm an all-night movie role. You said it would last, but I guess we know.
Yeah. just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
Well, that was certainly interesting, good music that definitely was very on theme for our film. I've been thinking more and more about how boring the movie was. Just because, like, I don't know, they had good, like, stylistic elements, but, like, what was, like... What? Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Isabel was commenting that there was music playing in the background. That was an intentional choice on my part, because this is the Lounge Lizards, which is actually the band of one of the lead actors in the film. He started the Lounge Lizards before the movie, but this album was released after the movie. But this is what he also was someone who helped, like, co-write the script when it got turned into a feature. And he wrote the soundtrack. But I don't remember there being any, like, music. I don't remember there being a soundtrack.
There was just that one song.
Yeah, I know, but apparently, like, he wrote a soundtrack. Like, it exists. Like, you can see the track list. But I'm like, when was there any, like... non-diegetic sound, but I don't know. That was the part that confused me, especially when I heard, because it's actually him that is playing the saxophone right now in this beautiful saxophone solo thing.
But I think it's also time for our PSA of the hour.
Okay.
So... Okay. The little precursor background to this PSA is basically they smoke a lot of Chesterfields cigarettes because this is 1984 and that's what people do. But yeah, they definitely had an obsession with those cigarettes along with gambling. But, you know... But I couldn't find anything on gambling in here. But I'll do something for the cigarette lovers in your life. All right. Let's see. If you have shortness of breath, wheezing, chronic bronchitis, or smoker's cough, it could be COPD. The fourth leading cause of death. Ask your doctor about a simple breathing test and new treatments for COPD. More information at www.learnaboutcopd.org. A message from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Wow, that was a bit of a downer, but...
You know,
but to be fair, the movie was a very cynical kind of downer kind of movie, so that makes sense. To me, I feel like hear me out. This movie feels like some sort of like precursor, like somewhere in the Joker's DNA. This movie is like somewhere in there, you know, like I'm this rebel. Moving around, drifting, because I have no place in society.
Like, the Joker, like, the most, like, 2019 Joker?
Yeah, you know, like, that kind of Joker. Like, the peak cinema is when it's all about how the world is all so cruel.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I think it was a... I mean, well, we were talking about the American Dream earlier, and a lot of it was about the main character just trying to fit in and like be an American. This was he changes his name from Bella. Well, yeah, Bella was his Hungarian name. To Willie. Yes, that's what it was. And I don't know, just trying to navigate a country that, you know, I think. It connects, like, who they say, you know, is welcoming of immigrants. But, I mean, yeah, there's just a lot of tension with that of still, like, feeling insecure about being an American. And his friend is like, oh, I thought you were American. And he was like, I am. But then it's interesting because he ends up bringing the friend, you know, over to his aunt's house, Lottie, and she's, like, very much, like, Hungarian, like, you know, basically only speaks Hungarian, and so, like, he did open up that side of him, that, I guess, was, like, some character growth, because we were also talking earlier about how there wasn't a whole lot of, like, character development. But I guess that's, like, one thing I could identify. And just the crafting of Americanism. I don't know if that's the correct term, but, yeah. I don't know if you have anything else to comment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... Maybe that's why I can't identify with the movie, because I don't want to be considered an American. And maybe she doesn't. Maybe our, like, female protagonist, I feel like she, like, kind of skirts that around. But then, like, I don't know. I don't understand, like, the end beat where the guy's on the plane and he accidentally is just, like, gets... blown off, but I guess airports were a lot less hazard, you know, like they just let anyone buy a ticket and just get on a plane. I guess that does create some problems eventually, you know, people going on planes to try and find somebody, getting trapped on planes, and suddenly you're in a foreign country. That seems awfully inconvenient.
But he was going back to his roots, so...
Yeah, maybe he'll be happier there.
Yeah, maybe that's the... He was trying to push it away for so long. But I guess he couldn't push it away anymore. It was almost like Ava was like the harbinger of that, like when she came into his life, because... They asked, I guess a family member asked to have him take care of her, like, babysit her, quote unquote. Well, that's the word he used, but, have her stay over for, you know, 10 days until, Aunt Lottie was done with her surgery, and I don't know, and then he just can't seem to, like, shake her, and, like, at first he is very much like, get away from me, like, I don't want to talk to you, like, really just being like, speak English, and like pushing her away. It was kind of like,
but then he goes to, like, try and get her off that airplane.
Yeah, so he was pushing his you know, his background, his roots away, and, like, his identity away, and then she comes. I mean, this is, yeah. And he's like, oh, wait, you're actually not that bad. Yeah. After like, she
what
steals
was the
a bunch
turning
of stuff.
Point, though? Like,
she steals
she
a bunch of stuff.
She just leaves an envelope of some money, and they're like, ah, I guess that's okay.
Well, remember she, like, brings back, all, like, the Chesterfields and the TV dinner for him. Like, just has a bunch of stuff. Yeah, so that's when he said, you're not bad. And
so
then,
it's all stuff, so you have to commit to the American idea of stuff equals kindness. Oh, God.
Well, they're, like, lusting after money the entire movie.
Yeah. But yet they don't do anything. So, like, I thought this was a road trip movie. And I was expecting, you know, like a water park, maybe like a theme park, so, you know, some monuments. But then they didn't go anywhere. They didn't do anything. Like, they were in hotel rooms and staying with relatives. Like, it was, like, the part that, like the worst vacation ever.
Yeah, well, she said that, Ava.
Yeah.
But I guess it's, and what I was saying about that was that, yeah, this movie, I don't know, it is, like, made up of those very mundane moments that aren't, like, the stuff that they don't show is, which is more of the, I feel like, the action scenes, like, we never get to see the two of them go, like, horse track betting, which is what they do primarily, or like horse race, or like dog racing.
It's dogs, they're greyhounds.
No, they did that was only one time.
Okay.
And that's when they lost all the money.
It was horses?
No, with dogs.
So the dogs were not a good bet, but the other bets were good.
The horses were the good bet.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? I think we should ponder that thought for a little bit and play some more music.
Yeah, that's true. But, yes.
I think there's something that can be gleaned from that.
Yeah. I did find the movie funny. Like I said, I did say that there was a lot of comedy in it, at least for me, like with the...
I laughed.
Yeah.
I chortled. You know?
I think I love Ava as a character.
Yeah, she was good. She was good.
And I love the Aunt Lottie was hilarious.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, the women in this
the
movie
women.
Were so good.
I
and,
know.
Like, and yet they were doing, like, all of this, like, grunt work.
Yeah. Well, she beat them at cards over
that's
and over
a lot of
again,
work.
Which was great. She's like,
that was
yes.
actually the best scene. That was the best
I know.
Scene. When the... older lady, Aunt Lottie.
Yeah. And also just, like, just reminded me, she reminds me of my grandmother a little, just, like, with the, like, eat, like, have the soup, like, the second they sit down.
Yeah,
and,
you gotta eat the soup.
Yeah, gotta eat that soup, that goulash, yeah.
Now,
but,
maybe one day, like, I think that we can have a conversation about whether or not horse versus greyhound bets.
Yeah, we should think about
would
that.
Would be better. Yeah. But I guess that's maybe a complicated question. You never really know.
It's early in the morning. About a quarter till three. I'm sitting here talking with my baby over cigarettes and coffee. And to tell you that, dog, I've been so satisfied. You, oh, faces
I've been around, and all the good-looking girls I've met, they just don't seem to fit in. No, in this particular set, yeah. But it seems so natural, darling, that you and I are talking over cigarettes and drinking coffee. Oh. And oh, my heart cries out, love at last I found. And honey, won't you let me just build my whole life around? I say it's so early in the morning. Ooh, it's a quarter till three. We're sitting here talking over cigarettes and drinking coffee, that long. And I'd like to show you where I've known nothing but good old joy. You don't mean, honey, since I've met you, baby, yeah. I would love to have another drink of coffee now. And me, darling, help me smoke just one more cigarette now. I don't want no sugar, 'cause I got you now, dog. But just let me enjoy, help me to enjoy this good time that we're having. It's so early in the morning, so early in the morning, and I got you, and you got me.
Thank you.
Just jumping back in here to say that this has been Unboxed, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This week we've been talking about the movie Stranger Than Paradise. And so we've been, I don't know, at least me, I've been playing, like, some 80s tunes, as well as some stuff inspired by the people that were in the film. I know, Isabel, I feel like you gravitated towards cigarettes as a theme tonight.
No. Two songs
and then the PSA.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I was trying to think of, like, themes from, and it, like, went well with it.
No, I'm not attacking you. I'm just observing.
Yeah.
It's okay. Anyways.
I didn't have as many songs that, like, came to mind, like, as quickly as some other movies, so I was going for, like, I was just looking up, like, my theme on Spotify, and, like, I looked up, like, winter, and, like, I don't know. I guess I did look up cigarettes, I have to say, because it was, I don't know. It's okay.
It was on theme.
It was on theme, exactly.
So, any other closing remarks?
I'm just reading, like, Letterboxd reviews. There's someone who's saying, what's this guy? This guy's Edgar. Edgar is saying
we're gonna be sharing Edgar's uncensored remarks.
Oh, I shared last week.
Okay,
someone else's.
Come on.
Yeah. So, no, just basically about saying Stranger Than Paradise is a film about isolation and detachment, which are represented in many forms. And so he goes on to talk about all the many forms that this takes throughout the movie, and then that it's also
long.
Well, it's the minimalist style that captures
minimalist, yes,
the barren landscapes, along with the unenergetic black and white cinematography, communicate the same message with a high correlation. But Yeah.
Scintillating.
The bleakness, the monotony, and choking the alligator.
I didn't understand that part, but I guess it was a memorable. I don't understand if it's a euphemism or if it's using a vacuum. Anyways, that's a good note to end on. Have fun tonight, sleep well, and choke your alligator. This is Emma and Isabel signing out.
Did you stand there all alone? Oh, I cannot explain what's going down. I can see you standing next to me, in and out, somewhere.